Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'll tell you what, a couple years ago, Billy Wilson, the president at ORU, asked me if I'd consider starting a rugby team, helping him start a rugby team at ORU, and I said, you know, it kind of goes. It's gonna, there's chipped teeth, there's broken fingernails, maybe a collarbone or two. It's a collision sport, and he said, we have to have something on this campus where these guys can be men. And I said, well, shoot, we'll give it a try. Yesterday, driving rain, lightning caused there to be a two-hour delay in the game. We played John Brown University, who has had a rugby program for 25 years. A lot of foreign students, rugby-playing students coming from rugby-playing countries. We kicked off to them, and this little guy, I think his name's George, and it fits. But he, always happy, jovial. The ball was kicked off one of the biggest men probably in Tulsa County at that time, caught it, started taking it upfield, and ran into George. And George, a little, just a happy guy. George hit him. It was like a train wreck. It was like 15 feet from me. I'm standing there watching it, and bam, I'm like, oh my gosh. And they got up, and it was George. And George had a smile on his face. He looked over at me, and he gave me thumbs up like this. And let me tell you, that's what happened here today. Just now, I'm telling you, that's what happened. The enemy got stopped in his tracks. And I'm telling you, that guy wasn't ready to get a face full of George. And ORU won 52-12. First home game they'd ever played. In a driving storm, mud, puddles, ponds. This boy came over that had came up. I met him last semester, and he said, I'm from California. I said, well, are you an athlete or anything? He said, I played 4 years of high school football, and we never won a game. He came up to me after the game and said, we won. I said, I know, good, that's great. He goes, no. And I remembered it's the first time he's ever experienced that. For some of you guys in here today, it's the first time you've ever experienced it. This is what winning is. You hear me? We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Doesn't matter what we're facing. I'll tell you, I want to preach just for a minute from the book of James, and I'm going to go a couple weeks on this, okay, because I got through about a tenth of my notes at 9:30. Instead of this being a two-week series, it'll probably be a three-week series, okay? And then in March, I think we're going to talk about some parables that Jesus talked about a lost sheep, and he talked about a lost coin, and he talked about a lost son. We're going to talk about that in March leading up to April, which is Easter, which is the Super Bowl. And we're big on the Super Bowl this year. We've already set a tone in the Super Bowl, and by the way, I need to let you know, if you don't know, my daughter's husband, Press Taylor, he got a big promotion and a big raise, and they bought a house last week, and I'm happy, kind of, because it's in Philadelphia, but nothing against Philadelphia, their Super Bowl chance, but it's not Tulsa, man. Tulsa's God's country, man. It's where our kids ought to be in Tulsa. Our grandkids definitely should be in Tulsa, but they're not right now. So I'm so happy to have the Taylor and his baby factory Cassie here, because having babies. Let me tell you, I'm not judging that silk shirt if I keep getting grandbabies. Okay, so you guys feel me on that? I'll wear a dadgum silk shirt. I'll give up every one of my jean jackets to that coat drive, every single one of them. I'll give up my Carhartt jackets, everything. I'll go Silkyville in my shirts if I just keep getting grandbabies, okay? That's all I care about. It's grand. I wear silk breeches. It doesn't matter. Does not matter to me. I tell you what, I will throw caution to the wind. But But I'm just telling you, there's a favor. There's a favor that's on Taylor and Cassie. There's a favor that's on Brooklyn and Press. There's a favor on Kennedy's life. I'll tell you, Kennedy was at that rugby game yesterday. There was a 2.5 hour delay, and she took care of the other team. She hosted them. She took them in and showed them where the restrooms were, and man, took them to lunch and took care of it. And then we just beat the living snot out of them. And that's how life is. That's how life should be. I'm telling you, it's time for you to win. And so here's James, who James is a half brother of Jesus. He's not one of the good Jameses that were apostles of the Lamb. There's two other James that were apostles of the Lamb. James, the half brother of Jesus, wasn't. He didn't follow Jesus when Jesus was alive on this earth. He didn't buy in until after the resurrection. I feel like that kind of fits my life. I didn't buy in till this Jesus stuff became real to me. I didn't just buy in because it was the thing to do. But here's James, and another brother, Jude, he didn't follow Jesus in his ministry either. He followed Jesus after the resurrection. Both those men did. See, so James has a letter that he's going to write, and he's writing it, listen, and it comes from the standpoint, I personally believe as a coach or really a father. But he says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered about. And then he said this, greetings. And then verse 2 starts with this, my brethren. See, what we've got to have is there's got to be strong relationship in this. See, this doesn't work without relationship. I'm just telling you. And see, we talk about it not being a religion. It's a relationship. It's actually covenant. See, the relational part of this, I'm in covenant with God, but now so that I can be in covenant with other people here. See, we've got to have brethren in our life. We've got to have brothers in our life. We have to have strong relationships in our life. Otherwise, all we're doing is navigating obstacles and fighting battles. And you know what? That's fun for a little while. But I'll tell you, how many people in this room, really honestly, you're battle weary? See, what James does and what's going to happen in the next two, probably 3 weeks of this series is we're going to bring things into context. We have to bring things into context. I could talk about marriage, having a strong marriage, and you know what? All the married people are in here and going, yeah, but let me just tell you, if you're divorced, I'm not sure there's a lot of context in that for you. If you're 15 years old, I'm not sure there's a lot of context in there for you. Raising kids, we're going to help you raise strong kids. And that kid here, stand up, son. That kid right there doesn't care about raising strong kids. He's here just muscling through it. We have to stop it. Here's what James was talking about. We have to stop treating church where we make guys like that just muscle through it. Stop. I know you care that your dog died, but no one else does. I care that my dog died. See, but we go through things and we all have issues and we all have deals. And to bring this into a reality for people is we have to bring it into context for people. There's got to be context. Otherwise, we just turn into churches that at the beginning of the 20th century in 1900, those churches were robust and they were great. But you know what? By the turn of the 21st century, man, those churches are dry and dead. And let me just tell you something. That's not who we are. Man, we have to be able to be pliable. But let me just tell you, we have to bring context to this gospel. Man, it's got to become real in people's lives. Man, that's why it's an honor for me to get up and say, man, if you need a miracle in your life, just come up here. Let's let this song come alive to you. Let it be real. Man, there's a miracle in this place for you. And I'm just telling you, because God withholds no good things for those who simply put him first. But here's what James wrote. Now listen, and this will bring context to everybody. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Man, when you stumble into it, you know what? Another way to put it in the Greek is when you get caught by that trial. See, I don't stumble into the trials of my life today. I'm 60. I don't stumble into trials. I'm not, well, golly, I didn't know that was there. Shoot. No, you know what? I'll just swerve just close enough to where I can experience a little bit but not get caught in it. And let me tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. Because you know what that trial's going to do? That trial's going to reach out. It's going to grab a hold of you. and it's going to get a hold in your life. And then the deception of the enemy. See, the enemy, let me just tell you three things about the enemy, okay? He is not all powerful. He is not omnipresent. He is very smart. He's very cunning. What he's going to use, he's going to use deception. You have to be smart to be deceptive. Some of you guys raised kids that were deceptive. They were probably really smart kids. You know, I had to get to the point when Taylor was young. He was 8 or 10 years old. Man, wait, I'd say, hey, this is how we're going to do it. He'd say, but Dad, can I offer up a suggestion to you? And I want to be a good dad. I want to be nice, even though it's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's like, yeah, son. And he'd start talking, and he would talk me out of my stand. Like, why would I have to be home at 11? Why do I have to go to bed at 10? Why do I have to do my homework, Dad? Why is it important? Let me tell you, Dad, there are study after study where people that brush their teeth every day, man, it doesn't help them. And I'm like thinking, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to do this. And so we made a rule. What was that rule, Taylor? Adult says no.
There's some studies out about
It doesn't get any better when they grow up, except for they have grandkids. But see, but when an adult says no, what happens? You drop it. And he knows that if he doesn't drop it, there's a paddle behind that dropping. And you know, some of you guys might say, well, I don't paddle my kids. Let me tell you, you got a kid that's 10, 12, 14 years old. It works. They don't have that diaper on anymore that pads it up. He always got two swats, too, because I might have missed on the first one. But you know what? Then we'd spend time. Then we'd build that bond and that relationship. There's not a closer person other than Sandy in my life and my other two kids than Taylor and I. And it's forged during those times. It's forged during those trial times. Man, I know you're going through something. Sir, I know you're going through something right now. I know you're dealing with something right now. And you know, we're really good. I'll say, man, how you doing, buddy? Great. And he's pretty convincing. But see, everybody in this room, we know how to say, oh, great. And let me tell you, don't stop doing that. Don't start airing all of your trials and airing all the things when somebody says, man, how you doing? Because people don't care how you're doing. They're just saying, hey, I don't have time to talk to you right now, but I'll catch you later. See, but the Bible says this, counting, it says, count it all joy. How do you do that? It doesn't say for them, but in them. Because we know what's on the other side of that test. You ready for the good news? On the other side of that test is a promotion. Man, you pass the 7th grade, what do you get? You get the 8th grade. I know there's some of you guys in here that it's like the 8th grade was the 3 toughest years of your life, and I get it. But you know what? You finally pass that. You pass that test. You get through that trial. Guess what? There's a promotion on the other side. See, that's what God does. Listen, I'll go a little farther. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And see, patience isn't a passive term. Patience isn't a defensive posture. It's an offensive posture. See, patience is actually very aggressive. But then listen to what the next verse says. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Is that good news? Man, you're in a trial right now. That's a great place for you to be in. You don't have to pay. Listen, it's not scriptural for you to pray for patience. It's not. Don't be praying for patience. That's weak. No, there's patience in you. Why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. There's patience in you because the heart of the lion of the tribe of Judah, the very DNA of heaven, is on the inside of you now. So let patience have what? It's perfect work. That you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, do you understand that? When there's lack in your life, it's just because, you know what? Man, you've stiff-armed and deflected the patience from being uncovered and revealed in your life. Man, there's a strength on the inside of you. There's a dynamic on the inside of you today, and it's simply patience. Man, and what does it bring? It brings you to a place where you're perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That's why the Bible says, don't worry, saying. That's why the Bible says this, be anxious for nothing. You'll think, oh, but all hell's breaking loose. No, it's not. All hell is not breaking loose in your life. You're in a test. You're in a trial. How do you pass that test? You're patient. Man, what does James say further on in his letter? What does he say? He says, look, be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to wrath. What's he saying? Cheer translation, keep your mouth shut. God's showing up on your behalf. And let me tell you something, with intent. When you're in a trial, God shows up in a bad dadgum mood. And you know what he does? He turns things around and makes it right for you. So much so, the Bible promises what the enemy means for bad, God will turn it to good in our lives. Is that amazing? Man, I'm telling you, you're not leaving here the way you came in. You know what this has given you today? This has given you the ability to begin to personally grow. Personal growth in your life. You know what the word does? The word gives you grow power. Man, you got a power to grow when it seems like everything's trying to hold you down. Everything's trying to cramp you up. Everything's trying to put a lid in your life. And you know what? God isn't having it. See, there's we look for people and we look for circumstances and situations to bring promotion in our lives. I was in the right place at the right time. Shut up about that. No, you know where you were? You were in a place where God could elevate you. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from above. God brings promotion. Man, how did I get here? How did you get here? God brings it. But let me tell you, we quit looking to God for promotion in our life. But what is that promotion? Listen, does that mean your feet are off the ground? No, it just means you're growing. And listen, this is how we grow. Are you ready? Write this down. Wisdom, stature, and the knowledge of God. Wisdom, stature, and the knowledge of God. Your body today, listen, we're preaching the word. Guess what's happening? Your body's getting stronger. The word of God's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, when you're sitting under the word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, man, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I got good news to the poor. God supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I got good news to the poor. Everything you put your hand to prospers. I got good news for some of you guys under attack. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Nobody's hooting and hollering. Nobody said, no, you know what? That this is a big problem for us in kind of the culture of this church. It's like I'm up here holding court. You know, I'm not. I'm bringing the bread of life. And some of you guys ought to be saying, pass the butter. Some of you guys ought to be saying, hey, send another loaf over here. Some of you guys ought to say, man, I want more of that. Man, I've tasted, I've seen that God's good. Man, it's good. Man, what does it taste like? It tastes like another. See, that's what the context that James is bringing here. Man, here he was in verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and this is a big key, let him ask of God who gives liberally without reproach. God's not going to scold you because you don't get it. Man, there's so many times in my life I don't get it. Man, when there's people involved, I got to act like I do. I got to act like I know what's going on. You know why? I'm not Pastor Billy Moore. I'm the senior founding pastor. It's weird. Because to me, all I'm doing is encountering situations and going to God saying, God, I need wisdom. I need to know how to think. I need to know what to say. Man, there's a time coming. It's not if, it's when, sir, that you're gonna come to me and you're gonna say, hey, this is what's going on. I need a word. I need a word of life, a word of joy, a word of peace, a word of faith, a word of healing. Man, a word of God for you. Man, it's not a Rolodex that's in my heart. See, that's how God gifts us. You know how God gifts us? Man, God gifts us by saying, look, just come to me and I'll give you wisdom. And I'll give it to you how? Liberally and without reproach. Man, he's not coming and saying, oh, you're asking again? God's not saying, awesome, when are you going to get this? No, you know what? Man, right now, man, God's throwing his chest out and his shoulders back and he's got his head up because you're paying attention to church today. It's a big deal to God because there's all kinds of distractions out there. There's all kinds of things. Man, all your phones right now are dinging. Everything's going off. I'll tell you, for you to sit and pay attention to church for 20 minutes is a big deal. But it's where our power is. The power to what? The power to grow. Are you personally growing? See, that's why we're here. We're here to help you grow. You know what the program is? The next step. What's your next step? Take it. There's the next step. Come on, take it. You know what? This isn't the kind of church that's going to show it to you. Come here, Kurt. This kind of church, this is the kind of church that I'm going to say, hey, Curly, here's what I need you to do. Because I want you to get over to that other side. So what I need you to do is I need you to take a step. Well, let me tell you, he's comfortable where he is right now. So this is the kind of church you have here where we're going to give you one of these. And you're going to be like, okay, you've taken a step. And if you stop, guess what? You're going to get another one of these. We're just going to bump you along. We're going to make sure. See, that's how God does this. God isn't going to leave this to chance for him to get this on his own. The Bible says we're all members of his body. We all are. He is a vital member. How old are you, son?
21.
He's 21 years old. Are you married? Do you have kids? Are you drowning in debt?
No.
So I could get up and I could say, listen, I'm going to help you if you're drowning from debt. He's going to look and go, there's no context in my life for that. Will you ever be drowning in debt? No. Okay. So here's the point. The point is, I get up and say, man, we want to make marriages strong because that's what we're supposed to do because we're a family church. Yet, you know what? We're leaving him out of the equation. So what's vital now, and just let me tell you, what we could all be praying about is that these messages and this church and the culture of this church and the brand of this church can come into context in people's lives. That's what James is about. James is saying, let me give you some context. There's a point in James where he says it's like you go to a mirror and you get a glimpse of who you are and you walk away and you forget what kind of man you are. See, let me bring some context to that. Everybody in here has got a mirror in their life. So you know what you look like. You know what your hair looks like. See, back then in that time, no one had mirrors except for very wealthy people. So you know what? Man, just regular Joes, just average people got to see a mirror once in a while. Maybe a couple times in their life, they'd get to go look at a mirror. And they couldn't hold that mirror. They couldn't stand in front of that mirror because that mirror wasn't there. They were trespassing even to glance at that mirror. So two or three times in their lives, they got a glimpse of their image in a mirror. See, I think that's what some people have with God. They've got a glimpse of who they are in Christ. Man, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you understand there is nothing on this planet that's better than you? Nothing. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. See, we still think that we're doing this of our own volition, and it's the arm of the flesh that's making this happen. No, we're not gutting it out and muscling through this. Man, God wants to bring promotion to your life. All you have to do is put him first. God wants to give you wealth. The Bible says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's given you the power to get wealth. Listen, to establish his covenant. Do you know why I believe the covenant that God wants to establish in America and around the world? You know why I believe it's dimly lit? Because we're okay with being broke. We're okay with being poor. Do you know what the will of God is for our lives? You ready for this? That in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You want to know the reason we have the distribution center for the poor at this church? We funnel it to the one central thing is because it gives us an outlet, a spigot, to be able to distribute to the poor and to bless all the families that need help. Because why? Because the word says that in us all the families of the earth will be blessed. You know, the Bible says that you'll have enough to give. This is what God's will is, to every good work. But you know what the world's going to say? The world's going to say, oh, you can't give to everything. We can't help everything, really. Are we picking and choosing in here who we can help? This is like the United Nations in here. This is A to Z. This is a diverse crowd. No. Miracles happen here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. God has anointed you
and you and you and you and me with his spirit, his presence. Breaks every yoke of bondage, removes every burden. You know what requires? My brethren, strong relationships. Up front, strong relationships. Man, with the men in here, it's you plus two. It's not just a catchy phrase. Take responsibility. We're not letting people go over the ledge anymore. Man, we're not letting people try to take their lives anymore. We're not letting people make decisions anymore that it's going to wreck homes, maybe for generations. It's strong relationships. It's trust. It's continuity. But we count it all joy when we're in a trial. And that's every difficult thing that we go through. What is that difficult thing? If God's got a plan for the difficult thing that you're going through, Mark, you know what it is? For you to produce patience. That's it. Just simply produce patience. Faith and patience eliminates lack. You want lack eliminated in your life? It's real clear. James brings context. Why? Because God gives wisdom. He gives insight. He gives understanding. All you have to do is ask. God, we love you today. God, we thank you today. God, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for these incredible people. Begin to pray for the people that are sitting beside you and sitting in front of you and behind you. Begin to believe God on their behalf. Begin to see God begin to move in their lives. Man, thank God right now for his protection in their life. The enemy can't have them. Remember, the Bible says that nothing can snatch you from the Father's hands. Man, let me tell you, them and their household will be blessed. They'll live and not die. They'll fulfill God's purpose in their life. If they're single, they'll marry the right person. They'll see God's glory manifest all around them. Just see right now their lack evaporating. See abundance in their life. Sick body parts and organs rejuvenating and coming back to life.